Amen. Well, let us continue to worship our God by giving our attention to His holy word as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, as we continue in our series in Deuteronomy, and we're well into Moses' second sermon, which he delivered to the children of Israel, that next generation, as they were preparing to enter into the promised land. Again, we pick up Moses' faithful teaching in Deuteronomy 16, beginning in verse 13. Moses said, "With the authority of God and through the Holy Spirit, you shall keep the Feast of Booths 7 days. When you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your winepress, you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns. For 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hand, so that you will be altogether joyful. 3 times a year all your male shall appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to him once again in prayer. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, to come and graciously feed us holy manna. Grant us to feast on Christ by faith, to the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in order to prepare that next generation to enter Canaan, Moses was faithful to instruct them about the 3 major feasts they were to celebrate once they got there. Those 3 major feasts, the Feast of Passover in connection with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. These were part of the spiritual DNA of God's Old Testament people. They were part of what formed their identity as a people. He instructed them first, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, regarding the Feast of Passover, which celebrated God's deliverance of his people from Egypt through the Exodus. As the Israelites ate the Passover and celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to explain to their children what it all meant, that it symbolized the way in which God had delivered them from Egypt. Central to that ceremony was the lamb that they ate, which reminded them of the lamb's blood that was sprinkled over the doorposts of their habitations in Egypt, and how the Lord, when he sent the 10th plague upon Egypt, when he himself struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians, how he passed over the habitations of his people because he saw that blood, the blood of the Passover lamb, the blood of the Paschal lamb over the habitations of the Israelites. And as we discussed a few weeks ago, all that was fulfilled in Christ, our Passover lamb, who shed his blood for us that we might be forgiven, that we might be spared the judgment that we deserve, and that we might have eternal life in him. Moses also instructed them about the Feast of Weeks, which came after the Feast of First Fruits and was known in Greek as Pentecost. It was a harvest festival, a special day for celebrating God's provision, remembering God's rescue of his people through the Exodus, and rejoicing in God's bountiful provision and goodness to his people. And as we discussed last week, it was on the day of Pentecost that the ascended Christ and the Heavenly Father sent the promise of the Father, namely the Holy Spirit, who came upon the early church, who was poured out upon the early church, and who is poured into the heart of each and every believer in Jesus. Now we come to the 3rd feast, Moses' instructions about it and its relevance for us today. Anytime we're reading about these things, we should always ask, okay, that's interesting, but what does it have to do with me today? And so we'll seek to answer that question this evening. First, the Feast of Booths, and then its relevance for us today. First, the Feast of Booths. Like the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, the Feast of Booths was both a harvest festival celebrating God's provision for his people in the promised land, and a celebration of God's redeeming, emancipating grace that got them there in the first place. The Feast of Booths was also called the Feast of Ingathering. It took place at the end of the summer or early part of the fall in September or October. This year, Jews will celebrate the Feast of Booths. September 20th through September 27th, a Monday to a Monday this year. But it celebrated for the ancient Jews the harvest of summer fruits, such as dates, grapes, and olives. It was also a time to pray for a good rainy season, which lasted from October to March, so that the next crops would be plentiful as well. And it recalled the way in which God had provided for his children in the wilderness when they dwelt in temporary booths, little makeshift huts or tabernacles. That's why it was called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. So during the Feast of Booths, each Israelite family that made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths would make a booth with a thatched roof made from palm fronds, and live in it for a week. And there were, speaking to some Ballantine Presbyterians a while back who were in Jerusalem a few years ago during the Feast of Booths, and still today, the Jews who live in Jerusalem, for example, they'll put a little tent out on the balcony of their apartment, and they'll stay out there. Probably not the whole week, but part of the week, and others will pitch tents around the city. And so this is still celebrated today, as we read in our passage, in the place that the Lord would tell his people. Of course, every time you read that, that's speaking about Jerusalem, appearing before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. That was ultimately Jerusalem. And still to this day in Jerusalem, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Booths in that way. This was a yearly reminder to the ancient Israelites that their success in Canaan was due to God's grace to them as a pilgrim people. God's grace to them as a pilgrim people. And another ceremony was later added to the Feast of Booths in this regard. On each day of the feast, a priest would take a golden pitcher and draw water from the pool of Siloam in Jerusalem. He would process to the temple, and the crowds would follow him. There would be trumpets blasting and the people singing. And he would pour that water through a funnel, which led to the base of the altar of burnt offering at the temple. This water pouring ceremony recalled the way that the Lord had provided water for his people in the wilderness, miraculously from the rock, how he would provide water for his people in the wilderness. So the Feast of Booths was a time for remembering the pilgrimage of God's people from Egypt to Canaan, and a time for celebrating God's bountiful provision for his people in the land of Canaan, just as he had repeatedly promised them. And those principles apply to us today. We don't necessarily, as Christians, celebrate the Feast of booths, though I'm sure some of you like to sleep out in tents from time to time. But we don't formally, as the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrate the Feast of Booths. We celebrate other things, other feasts, as we're celebrating tonight. But the principles of the Feast of Booths apply to us today, most notably those two principles that we've mentioned, the principle of pilgrimage and the principle of provision. First, the principle of pilgrimage. Like the Israelites living in booths, making their way to the promised land, we are a pilgrim people. We could all look at each other and in that is it the John Wayne voice say, "Howdy, pilgrim." We could do that because we need to remind ourselves. We are a pilgrim people. Like the Israelites living in booths, making their way to the promised land, our current homes are temporary. Wherever we live, if we still live with our parents, or if we're renting an apartment, or we're renting a home, or we own our own home, it's a temporary dwelling place. We are just passing through. It doesn't mean the journey is not important. It doesn't mean our current home is not important. We want to bloom where we are planted, wherever that might be. We want to leave things better than we find them. We want to be salt and light. We want to make a difference. But we make a difference knowing that we are pilgrims passing through. As 1 Peter 2:11 puts it, we are strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. Our permanent home will be in the new earth, the new land. When Christ comes again, that is the land that we and all God's children will inherit and dwell in forever. That's the land we look forward to. Even as the Israelites look forward to the land of Canaan, we look forward to a better Canaan, a new Jerusalem, the new earth in which we will dwell with Christ and his people forever. So first, pilgrimage. We should remember that we are pilgrims passing through. And second, provision. The Feast of Booths taught the Old Testament saints, and it teaches us to give thanks for God's gracious provisions. As we saw back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses told the children of Israel, "Now when you get over into Canaan, don't forget who got you there." He specifically said, "When you get to the good land the Lord has promised you, beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." So it is with us today. We must remember, in the words of James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift that we enjoy comes from our faithful Heavenly Father and through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gives us these things not because we deserve them, but because He delights to show mercy and lavish His children with good gifts to bless us and make us a blessing in the lives of others. The Feast of Booths reminds us that God is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, providing us with every material and spiritual blessing that we possess. As was read earlier in our New Testament lesson, it was on the last day of the Feast of Booths that Jesus stood up and said to the crowds, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Perhaps it was right after the priest had poured out that pitcher of water and all had seen it and all were assembled there. And maybe it got quiet after that ceremony. There was a hush over the crowd and Jesus stood up and says, I'll tell you about water that will satisfy your soul forever. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And as we heard, St. John identified the rivers of living water as the Holy Spirit, the one poured out upon the church at Pentecost, and the one poured into the heart of each and every believer in Christ. And you notice that Jesus did not just say that the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. He said that the Holy Spirit flows out of our hearts as well. So the Feast of Booths and what Jesus declared there at the Feast of Booths reminds us that we are not only recipients of God's blessings through His Spirit, we are called to be channels of God's blessings through His Spirit. Channels of blessing. That's what we are called to be. Over the weekend, the oldest person in America passed away. Hester Ford died at the age of 116, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she lived most of her life. She was originally from Lancaster, South Carolina, just down the road, but she made the right choice and moved to North Carolina, and here she spent most of her days, and it was here that she passed away. She had 12 children, 48 grandchildren, 108 great-grandchildren, and 120 great-great-grandchildren. Most importantly, she was a wonderful Christian lady. In her later years, she struggled with dementia, but she could still recite passages of Scripture without fail. She became blind and she couldn't read her Bible, but she could recite passages of Scripture to her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And she would pray those Scriptures on their behalf. She was described as a pillar, a stalwart, and a light for Jesus. And this is what she would always tell those children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. This she always would tell them when they would visit her. She would say this, "You are here to be a blessing. God put you on this earth to be a blessing." What a wonderful thing to tell your posterity, to pass on to your posterity, to leave a legacy of for your posterity. And what a wonderful thing for us to live by. How can we do it? By remembering we are a pilgrim people, just as the Old Testament Israelites were a pilgrim people, just as Hester was a pilgrim and who has now entered her reward and her rest. And by remembering that God provides every spiritual need that we have through the rivers of living water, His Holy Spirit, who is poured out into our hearts and through our hearts. May we depend on God's Spirit, remembering the principles of the Feast of Booths. May we depend on God's Spirit that we might be a blessing in our lifetime to all that God puts in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.